Reed Martin, this week I am starting to direct a non-reduced Shakespeare company production at Valparaiso University. I have not directed a non-RSC production in I don't know how long. You, however, are a master and a longtime expert at this. What do you do when you're directing a college students in a production that isn't an RSC production?
I drink.
Oh, it's easier than I thought then.
Oh, good.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 477, Directing Other Shows. For several years now, when he's not touring with the RSC, Reed Martin has been directing non-reduced Shakespeare Company shows at Napa Valley College and Santa Rosa Junior College in Northern California. Well, this week, I begin rehearsals for a new script that I'm directing at Valparaiso University. And when I asked Reed for some tips, he thought it would make an interesting conversation for a podcast. So I turned on the microphone, and I hope you agree.
No, it's fun to do something different. It's fun working with college students. There's a wide variety of abilities,
yeah,
right,
and experience.
And so you're trying to find. It's not unlike what we do, but just the expectations are a little different. I mean, what's realistic to expect from them? So I always think casting is, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's high. 70, 80, 90%
yeah.
of your job.
Yeah.
And that's true professionally and in any capacity.
Yeah. I know different people think differently. I think if I don't see it at the audition or the callback, or if I have to work to see it at the audition or callback, it's not that it won't be possible for them to do it, but I think my time would be better spent directing the show rather than trying to coach some performance.
Well, and that's the thing. You have a this is true professionally and in college.
Yeah.
You have a limited amount of rehearsal time,
yeah.
So there's only so much you can do. I mean, we were talking about this about Shakespeare. You know, you don't really want 3 or 4 weeks of rehearsal for Shakespeare. You want 6 to 8,
right.
You know, because that's a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah. Well, and how much time you want for non-RSC production
right.
depends on the show. In the fall at Napa Valley College, we devised a show, Improv Zombies
right.
from Hell.
Right.
And that was a long process because we needed it. Because
right.
we were, not unlike an RSC show,
right.
we were creating it
yeah.
out of nothing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm directing currently Guys and Dolls at Napa Valley College, and that show actually exists. We're not having to create that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we don't have to write the songs.
I would not create another show called Guys and Dolls, because it's a pretty good one out there.
No, I think it would just be confusing. But it's weird to say, well, that just makes it so much easier. But it does. The jokes exist. I don't have to come up with the jokes and the songs and the characters.
Well, on the one hand, but
this is a stupid thing to say to people who are directors. They know this, but we're so used to working the other way.
Yeah. But on the other hand, Guys and Dolls has a set of expectations and a set of realities that you need to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're devising a show,
mm-hmm.
you can the things that you devise can match the realities you're given with your students.
Yes, yeah, you can definitely match their abilities. What tricks
yeah.
do they have up their sleeve?
Yeah.
Let's get those in the
yeah.
show. And it's true to it's definitely true to an extent, even in Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
You know, find out what they do and try to punch up that.
Yeah.
You know, have them do that. So casting is just so important.
And when we had auditions, the thing I'm directing at Valparaiso University is an adaptation of Jasper Ford's novel, The Air Affair, which I'm a big fan of, and Jasper has generously given me permission to adapt it for the stage, and so I'm directing it, and I always feel like when I'm directing anything that I've written, it's an extension of the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've written it, I've done, I don't know, 6 or 8 drafts of it now. I've heard several readings done by professionals and by students, and I'm already thinking of changes I know I'm going to make at the very first rehearsal this week. But one of the tricks, as you were talking about, is the auditions. And I discovered things in auditions when I went, oh, well, and there's a guy who can do this, which means I can have him do this, this, and this. And here's a gal who I thought would be right in one part, and it turns out she's way more right for other things. These are the discoveries you make. It's so much, I mean, I guess for me already, the exciting part is that I feel like I know what we all of the Reduced Shakespeare Company can do. And now I'm working with other actors who have different things to bring to the table, and that's exciting.
Right. So will you cut things that they don't do well and add more of... So in this sense, you're working with a new script, and since you're the writer, you, unlike Guys and Dolls, you can change it. Will you adapt it along those lines?
I totally will. I mean, there are times when... as we do with our scripts, there are times when we'll run a scene, and I'll coach the actors, and there will come a point at which I'm going, okay, you know what? It's not the actor's fault. It's the script's fault. There's something wrong with the script. I mean, I think that was... We discovered that in the Long, Long Shakespeare, the initial scene between Hamlet and Lady Macbeth we have rewritten. So I will absolutely rewrite based on, and in fact, I think I'm adding some bits again based on what seem to be the talents of the new guys.
Yeah.
And gals.
And then for musicals, do you have songs in your show?
No.
No. Yeah. But for musicals, the way I was taught and the way I like to do it is work on the acting. Yeah. So often you have such a short time period. Okay, learn the lines. But you're spending so much time on the vocals and the dancing. But the songs are either monologues or they're scenes.
Right.
And we talk through them. And what is your objective? I mean, it seems
you
obvious to me, but we're 2 or 3 weeks into rehearsal. They sing the songs with the vocal director.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm blocking the scene, we're talking through the song and say, okay, what are your beats? What's your objective? What's your obstacle? What are your tactics?
Cool.
And several of the performers said, wow, I haven't been directed like this in years, and it's really great. I've seen other people think it's just a pain in the ass. But but I don't know. I've seen productions with beautiful singing and beautiful costumes and beautiful sets. But I'm not interested because there's nothing behind it, and that doesn't interest me.
It's one of the reasons I don't care for opera, because I'm sure I don't understand opera on some level, and that's a failing of mine. But for me, if it's all sung through and it's all sung the same way, the emphasis seems to be on the music and the sound of the music rather than the meaning of the words or the intention of the characters.
Right, and I have a great vocal director, Eve Ann Wilkes, and she's, and I said, that person seems to be just listening to themselves singing rather than playing the objective. She goes, absolutely right. So she feels the same way. If a song's you want all of it. You want it to sound good and you want it to be acted well.
Well, and I'm sure this is done in musicals all over the place, but the place where I first discovered it is the National Theater's production of Oklahoma. This is probably at least 10 years ago now, with Hugh Jackman playing Curly, and it was a revelation. I've done Oklahoma 3 times, and I think I know it, and this was done like, oh my God, it's a real... They're acting it like it's a real play, like it's a classic Shakespeare play, not a drippy Rodgers and Hammerstein musical.
Right, and I think people get bad impressions of some of these classical musicals because they're often done in a way that's not very interesting.
Yeah. What's been fun for me so far with directing The Air Affair of Valparaiso is that I've specifically, well, even starting in the writing of the adaptation, I wanted to write a play that had a lot of parts for funny women. We've been doing all of our Shakespeare shows, RSC shows, and they're all written for 3 guys, except for Millennium. And I know too many funny women, and I thought, I gotta write a play that's out there for them. So anyway, so that's been fun. That was a new change. But also, I wanted to write on an unreduced... using an unreduced palette, so it's got a set.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a ton of costumes. It's got 6 to 8 actors playing 8 to 10 to 12 roles each, so a lot of costumes. It's very unreduced, and that's been really fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was fun when I directed Spamalot at Santa Rosa Junior College, where I'm adjunct as well as at Napa, and it's a big show. I have more than 3 actors. It doesn't just have to be cloth that folds up and that's our set. Wow, this is really fun. Oh, well, this guy's good at that. He can play that part.
Well, and so now you've done it more than I have. Liberating? Is it exciting? Just give me 3 guys in a chair.
It's just different. It's exhilarating.
Yeah.
It's fun. Well, and Spamalot, I said at the time, it felt like I was preparing to direct that show my whole life.
Right. I could recite that show.
Yeah. Well, and again, Python, they were brilliant writers, but they were good actors because they took comedy seriously.
You're right.
There's nothing worse than people are... It's like sometimes when I'm directing, I start out, the first thing I do is and different people work different ways. I like to block it, even if it's just roughly blocked.
Yeah.
Let's get from beginning to end and give everybody some place to go. It's like writing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Let's get a bad first draft out there.
Let's get a structure. And also, let's start putting it into your bodies, because mm-hmm. it's easier to learn lines when you're learning the moves as well. When you and you go, I'm saying this line, but I'm moving this way. That doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. I should either change the line or move this way.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's just much easier.
Yeah.
You can connect muscle memory to word memory.
Yeah.
So I roughly block it out. And as I say, then it's like rewriting. Okay, no, this is no good. Oh, that doesn't make sense. You need to be coming from the right and exit to the left because of what happened in the previous scene. So I block it all out, and that really helps. And then some of the group scenes, I go, okay, this is a mess. But you basically, you know you're entering, you know
right.
you're exiting.
Right.
The group scenes are a challenge, right? Because the actors, some of them are very experienced. So something shocking happens, and I go, okay, now everybody have a different reaction.
Right.
And half of them have no reaction, and half of them all say the exact same thing.
Right.
Right, okay.
Right.
And so sometimes you have to go say, okay, you adjust your tie. You say that. It's something you have to give them lines that the audience doesn't even hear.
Right.
Just to block, you know. And then other people, they have the instinct and they feel it.
But, and they pick it up.
Yeah, but those group scenes or I'm just like in RSC shows, I'm big on throwing focus.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you go dead.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that's like the leads. One tends to pay a lot of attention to the leads, but then you have to sort of look all around and go, okay, you're not doing anything here. What is your... All these characters have inner monologues and things that they're reacting to. Yeah. So fill that in.
Listen with energy.
Exactly.
Hello, my name's Jasper Ford. I'm the author of the Thursday Next series of books and also the Nursery Crime series of books, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the U.S., unfortunately, you can't see us again until March, April, and May of 2016, when we'll be touring to Allentown, Pennsylvania, North Andover, Massachusetts, Schaumburg, Illinois, Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. And, of course, from April 21st to May 8th, we'll be performing the Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C. But on March 11th, we'll be adding a new country to the RSC's roster of international performances when we bring the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, to Qatar in the Middle East. That's Qatar, spelled Q-A-T-A-R, formerly pronounced Qatar. It's the first time we've played the Middle East, I think, except for Israel, and we're hugely looking forward to it. We'll be doing 4 days of school performances and workshops, but we'll also be giving two performances for the general public on March 11th. So start booking your flights for Qatar now. And now back to my conversation with Reed Martin, in which we talk about directing both RSC and non-RSC shows. When I was in grad school, I took with me the lesson you and I both learned from Professor Emeritus. No, he was actually a fellow student of ours, Doug Pergeson, in the theater department, drama department at University of California, Berkeley. He said, he always liked to say, yes, it's silly, but is it truly silly? You know, and true silliness is kind of my goal.
Well, and that's what I said last week in Guys and Dolls rehearsal. I mean, sometimes I give you a bit of business, comic business or shtick.
Yeah.
I go, it can't. Internally, it's not shtick. It all has to be justified. If you can't justify it, we're going to cut it. Because then it just looks like funny business.
Well, and it's like lines. It's like notes and music. It's like choreography and dance. You know, you learn it so you can do it, but you do it with intent and honesty and sincerity and presence.
Well, and that's something I learned in the circus where, you know, in acting school, you learn internally for the most part. Stanislavski, the method.
Right.
In the circus, they just give you shtick. And I think one of the big differences between a good clown and a bad clown is he takes that external thing and learns to internalize it.
Right.
So it becomes important and alive and not just movement by the numbers that's funny because it's mechanical.
Well, yeah. Brando famously worked from the inside out, and Laurence Olivier famously worked from the outside in. He couldn't find a character until he found that character's nose.
Yes.
Who would have thought Laurence Olivier had something in common with a good circus clown?
Yeah, so you mentioned your acting training. You and I have sort of switched roles. I've done more non-RSC acting
in the last dozen years, and you've done more non-RSE directing in the last dozen years, even though your MFA is in acting, and my MFA is in directing. Directing is like the only thing I'm actually literally trained to do.
Well, we do it all with the RSE, so yeah. It's all kind of interchangeable.
Yeah.
I've now directed being on the faculty at Napa. I guess this is the third show I've directed at Napa Valley College, and directed a couple at Santa Rosa. You have way more TV experience. I did two or three non-RSE
stage shows in the
Bay Area at American Conservatory Theater and
the Magic.
The Magic Theater. And that
with David Diggs, currently of Hamilton.
That's right.
Just to drop a name so hard it breaks a toe.
Clunk. Hey, David. We did in 2007 at the Magic Theater in San Francisco. We did a show called Moving Right Along. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast. I'm not sure.
No, we must have.
We've done it in pieces, but maybe we should do a separate podcast called Moving Right Along.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, written and directed by Elaine May and with Marlo Thomas in it.
Mm-hmm.
And David was in that. He's just a working Bay Area actor. I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
Nothing good, I'm sure. Yeah. Cut to the Tonys, where he wins Best Supporting Actor. You heard it here first.
You
started out this conversation by saying this, and I think it bears repeating, is that for me, I think our non-RSC work fuels and energizes our RSC work. Because invariably, whether it was TV or whether it was working in some other way or doing that show at Looking Glass, or for you, working in the Magic, you learn stuff from there or you do something there and you go, oh, I can use this. I can bring this back to the RSC.
Yeah. Well, it helps on all kinds of levels. One, it's just different.
Yeah.
So it refreshes you.
Yeah.
You see other performers. You learn talking to different acts. Sometimes you're just reminded. Yeah. I saw an interview with Matt Damon. Reminded of things I've forgotten about that are important.
Right.
I just saw an old interview clip. Somebody posted it on Facebook. Charlie Rose interviewing Peter O'Toole, the late Peter O'Toole, and he said, so what do you do to create that character, aside from learning the lines? And Peter O'Toole just holds up a finger imperiously and says, think about what you just said, learning the lines. What does that mean? You know, it's being alone in a room, learning the words, figuring out what they mean, why you're saying them, why you choose this word over that word. You know, learning the lines is much of it.
Well, and that's the thing for, you know, student actors, to get them to realize, new actors sometimes think, well, I need to have the lines for opening night. But you can't really do most of the deep work until you're off book. There's another interview Charlie Rose did with Anthony Hopkins, and almost his total preparation is learning the lines, backwards and forwards, and everyone else's lines. And so it's just so second nature. He says, because relaxation is the key.
Yeah.
And so if you're completely confident in the lines, you can relax and you can play with them in every which way. But what I tell the students, what I don't want to see is you in the scene, and I can see in your eyes, you're leaving the stage, you're walking back to the dressing room, opening and flipping through your script, right?
Yeah.
Because then you're thinking about what is my line, as opposed to you're thinking like the character, what is it that I want and how am I trying to get it?
Yeah.
And that's such a basic lesson, but it's a big one.
Well, and there's nothing sexy about being alone in a room learning your lines. You know, it's not... That's not the reason any of us got into showbiz, but it is the hard work. It's the 10,000 hours that Malcolm Gladwell talks about. It's the thing you do to prepare most, so when you come into rehearsal, you have something to offer your other actors.
Yeah. One thing I will do is I try not to do it much, but I will give. I don't know if I give a line reading, but I will tell them words to emphasize young actors. And I apologize, and I try not to do it very much, but sometimes you can sort of hint at it about three or four times.
Yeah.
And then finally you go, okay, this is a joke.
Yeah.
And here are your two operative words. Can you find a way to punch those two words?
Well, and I don't mind that sometimes. I've been given a line reading before. Sometimes I'll just go, I'm not getting what you mean
and
here.
And the directors are so polite trying to resist. And I know it'll drive some actors crazy. It doesn't drive me crazy getting it, so it doesn't drive me crazy giving it. And I try to limit it. But, hint, hint, hint. Just tell me how you want me to say it. Let me try that.
It would drive us crazy if a director came out and said, and did it on every speech.
Right.
Wow, you're really doing
No, you don't want that. But it's something. I heard Tina Fey James Lipton talking to Tina Fey, and mm-hmm. somebody asked her, well, it was actually one of the students, saying, how do you manage to be truthful and be funny at the same time? And she says, well, you're working two things. Good comic actors are completely truthful and urgent, but at the same time, there has to be a specificity to what you're doing and particular emphasis. And she was saying how Alec Baldwin is a genius at it, that there are, okay, she'd say, okay, yes, so this is earnest and true. Now, this line is a joke. And these are your two operative words, and you have to hit those for the joke to land. And somebody said, how do you learn to do that? She says, well, you have to work on stage and hear an audience reaction, and you do that long enough, then when you don't have an audience, it's internal.
Well, and that's the biggest challenge with a college production, is that you frequently don't get that long run with an audience where you finally begin to learn how to play the show to people. You know, you've done it in rehearsal, and it's perfect, and the audience comes in, throws everything off by laughing at stuff or not laughing at stuff or sitting there engaged in a way that you didn't anticipate. And that's a whole other skill, learning how to do a long run versus a short college run.
And I think that's why at a college doing an existing proven script is a little bit easier than working on a new script. But the great thing is you can work on a new script in a pretty low-risk situation.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your directing tips via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, assistant director's assistant Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Karen Corcoran. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Jasper Ford. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 477 1431st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I think the greatest lesson we want to leave, you know, the young actors or any actors that we work with, is learn your goddamn lines.
Touche.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.